your pain. Wanda, your pain. It's an iPad. That's the price. For disrupting. Amen. Can you hear me? There's been a lot of pollen activity. So I took some medication. Hopefully I was praying that it will stem the back drip. So I hope you're able to hear me. Amen. But I'm super excited about what I'm going to be talking about today. It's great to be together. I love the energy when we women get together. We keep chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting. One of the things I'm super excited about is we're going to have a Spanish Women's Day. Hola. ¿Cómo está? Muy bien. ¿Y tú? I'm learning. I didn't say any French word, but that's as far as I can go. So I'm not going to stretch it. Oh, I can't. But I'm really excited. But before we start, shall we pray? Father, we praise you and glorify your name. Father, you truly are amazing. The power you are in our lives. You being truly our Heavenly Father, you knew us before we were even born, as we were being formed in our mother's wombs, Father, and you had incredible plans for us. What a Father you are. How amazing you are. Your patience, Father, your love is overwhelming. And Father, I thank you that we can gather together and talk about you and be together as sisters and fellowship and encourage one another and spur one another on, and if there's any correction toward one another, we do so, Father, to your glory. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I pray that you fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you use me to speak of the things that you've put in my heart. I pray that you use me to inspire the sisters to your glory. We love you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about the God we pray to. I think God's been moving the brothers' hearts to speak about prayer. And I don't think we can hear enough about prayer. Because we need God constantly. He gets excited when we pray to Him. He wants us to continuously pray to Him. But I think sometimes, I didn't grow up religious, so I had to learn how to pray. And prayer was a pretty nebulous thing for me. And I was like, so what do I say? And I praise God. I'm very grateful for the sisters who sat with me, knelt with me, and taught me how to pray and really helped me to understand this great God. And I'm still 21 years later learning this amazing God. The year before last, I spent a whole year studying about Jerusalem because Jerusalem fascinates me. And I've been to Jerusalem. I've walked via the Dolorosa. We prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. And every time I read about Jerusalem, and I was like, I've got to go in there and study about Jerusalem. Last year, spent the whole year studying about God. I was like, God, I started the year hungering, wanting to know this God. And just for Him to keep revealing Himself to me. This year, I said, I want to grow in my prayer. I want to study out prayer and draw close to God through prayer. And so some of what I'm going to share is just kind of like an accumulation of just the things that God has just been inspiring me and reminding me about Himself. And the thing that I walked away with my Bible study is that God wants me to continuously know Him, to be amazed by Him, and God does not want to become old. God does not want copper. It becomes dross and loses its luster. God does not want to be that. But if we're careful, we can be that. He can be that in our lives. And God wants us to continuously know him. You know, if you think about it, you and I did not know each other at all. I was thinking about that today. It's fascinating, the thought of it. Just kind of bear with me. It's an exciting thought. I hope it'll excite you. But you think about it. Here I am. It's like we're walking past one another. Some of us dying, walking, living, perpetuating, growing, becoming, dreaming. Some of us being disappointed, but we don't know each other. But then at one point in time, you think about your life as a line. Not just as a line, but a line of electricity. And you think about it, at some point you came into connection with this amazing God. And then sparks happen. Like, you know, I imagine if I'm Spielberg and making this movie about human interaction and human evolving. And there's a theory about, you know, I forget the theory. But there's a theory of seven point of... Six degrees of separation. That's an amazing theory, you think about it. But I'm not talking about the 6 degree of separation. I'm talking about just this thought. It's not a printed theory. It's my thought, and I kind of like my thought. You think about it. At some point, you as a person, you're walking, living, and God drew you, and he came. You came into connection, and happened. You came in contact with this God. And coming in contact with this God, and what it did is intertwined us and knitted us together. And we sit here, intertwined and knitted together. And we were built together. As you sit together, you're not an individual. You are not just Sherry as an entity. You cannot, and God does not want us to exist as an island, as an entity here. Separate, devoid of contacting one another. God does not want that in you. He says, you cannot live separate. Thank you. He says, you, as Sherry, you as Nancy, your lives are intertwined together. And what you experience, you must experience it together. Be happy together. As you are sad together, but lift each other out of that sadness.
Right.
It's an incredible thought. You think about how we're knitted together, intertwined, and what God is doing, he's joined a fabric of you and I the whole world over. And tonight, this eastern part of the world, we are closing down and about to go to sleep. And as our prayers are shutting down and sleeping, the other side of the world is waking up, praying to this God, seeing this amazing God. And you think about it, at this point, at every time in the world, God has been prayed to, called to, awakened to, besought, and asked to, and he hears continuously. It's an amazing thing about God. God is an amazing thing. We read it in Revelations. He tells us every day, continuously, the angels and everything in heaven is praising him. But you think about it, today, in the world, at this point in time, not just United States of America, Canada, people are praying to God. South America, people are praying to God. Or the Eastern Seaboard. We're in that clock, right? In that time zone. In this time zone, we're praying to God. And the other time zone is awakened, continuously praying to this amazing God. And you know, with a fabric, you think about the tapestry. It's hung. And with a tapestry, you just don't walk by a tapestry. You stand and look at it. And you're amazed by it. You look at the amazing fabric and the amazing design. And God designs things in our lives. The victories, the answered prayer, that's the fabric in your life. That's the tapestry in your life. The things that God has done. And what he wants is that we look at one another and not just see Sherry, but see the power of what God has done in Sherry's life. And we look at her and we're amazed by this tapestry of God's working in her life. That is God. We ought to look at one another and be amazed by God. And not just see the physical, oh, there goes Sarah. God wants us to look and say, there goes, I can see the power and the workings and the miracles in Sarah's life. But we're of the world. We think in worldly ways. Unfortunately, especially us women can be nasty. We can be a terrible lot. We are a terrible lot of creation. And this is, I love us women, but this is what I mean. You walk in and the first thing you're thinking, oh, look at her dress. And we're thinking, oh no, I don't think I'm, what's the fashion? I'm wearing the fashions of the 60s. Oh, look at her hair. And we're looking at all the physical things. And God is saying, don't. I am building an incredible tapestry of amazing miracles in the lives of the sisters around you. If you cannot see it, the only thing, if you can just achieve to do this, your conversion, the turn of your darkness into light, is an amazing miracle. It's an amazing miracle. The transformation, change that has been wrought in your life is amazing. God wants us to see that, not the outward. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about this God. You know, I'm excited. We're living in the pages of history right now. It's incredible things are happening. Watson has happened. Jeopardy? I like watching Jeopardy. And then if I find I don't have time for Jeopardy, I record it. Because I think it's fascinating. But this is what's going on. Years ago, they did the program in the chess, whatever, the Russian guy competed against the computer and beat him silly. And then now it's Watson. And you know, they created him into a, and we call him, oh, Watson is happy. And you know, this is what's really amazing. He's a round kind of fixture, and then he's got like hairs. And when he gets the answer right, the top of him turns green. And we're like, oh, Watson is happy, he got it right. And if he gets it wrong, he kind of turns like orangish. It's like, oh, he didn't get it right. But here's the thing, that's what's happening. History right now is happening. The power, the speed of what Watson's done, the ability to be able to take data and to go through that algorithm and think through all the data that he's got to come up with the most likely probable answer. It's incredible. And I sat there, I thought, wow, that's amazing. The implications to national security, staggering. Doctors and all the data and diagnosis, easy and staggering. Those are jobs of the future that have not been created, already been created. You think about it, Watson is amazing. Today, a couple of hours ago, the last flight. Oh, I stopped everything. I recorded it. I thought, history is happening. I've got to record it. And I'm like, girls, you have to watch this. And they're like, yes, we know it's history. I said, do you know what's going on in Libya? History is happening. Things are changing. And I think sometimes we can forget and see it and not see the workings of God. You know, I'm not saying that God did Watson, but you get my point. Amen. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. We're living in the pages of history. And you know, as much as we see history and amazing things happening, they do become history. They settle into the past. They become things of old. They become familiar. I think even the world tells us familiarity breeds contempt. Things that were amazing and how excited I am about Watson, in the future he'll just become, oh, it's Watson. Nothing amazing, it's just Watson. And they become things just remembered. That's it. They've settled in their mold, and all that they are has become and is. They've stopped evolving and growing, and all that is known of them has become known. They have shown their full extent and nothing more. They've stopped. For me, that's a scary thought. They've stopped and have been encrusted into history, stuck in a particular mold. But you and I must be careful. You and I must be careful that God does not lose his luster, that God does not become distorted in our minds and hearts and become old and become historic and become familiar. That when we think about God, we're just thinking, oh, it's just God. And God does, we're not amazed anymore by God because he's just God. We must be careful. And if we're not careful, God can be relegated with things of the past. If we're not careful, he will become a God of history and not of the and a God of the past and not of today. To be experienced, to fill us with amazement and wonder, and to allow him to continuously reveal himself to us. Amen. We've got to be careful because he wants to be known continuously. God is not a stale God. God is not a stagnant God. He wants to continuously reveal himself to us, and he wants us to continuously know him. That's why at different points, in different ways, in different passages in the Bible, he says, grow in the knowledge of God. And then he says, add this to you. God does not want us to stagnate. And my aim tonight is that I create a paradigm shift in our outlook and view of God. As he says in Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. We can never fathom God. And that in itself ought to sober us, humble us, and amaze us. That my ways, the way I see things, I view things, I work at things, are not God's ways. That in itself should keep and maintain a bounce in us. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Actually, I think I might need help with reading to kind of preserve. Okay, G. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, baby. Yes, please.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. Could somebody read that, please? Ephesians 1, 15 to 23.
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking to God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, or that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, and give you constantly great power for us to believe. That power is by the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ, and who raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every life.
God starts telling us about himself. He says, this is who I am. This, he introduces himself to us. You can never fall in love with the person you don't know. And that's what God has done in Genesis. He says, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I've done. He says, in the beginning, this is what I've done. Amen. And I think sometimes we can just read Genesis and just read it as facts. But you know, God is saying, hey, this is how powerful I am. Out of nothing, this is what I've done. He says, this is how powerful and awesome I am. My first thought about God is our God, our awe-inspiring God. My first point is our awe-inspiring God. And God starts out in Genesis, he says, he reveals himself and says, this is who I am, I'll take care of you, and you know the whole story. But my point is this, God introduces himself. And you go into the New Testament and Paul expresses the same sentiment. He says, look, this is God's desire that he wants you to know this God, this amazing God. And the hope that he has for you, the hope to be able to make it to heaven, to live with this life, this God eternally and forever. That's his desire. And on top of that, he says he wants you and I to know this amazing power that is available for us. The most powerful thing that we've seen in this world is what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Within minutes, flattened out cities. Up to today, some people are experiencing cancer and the ripple effect of what happened to Hiroshima. And God says, you have that power more than Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He says, be careful.
I'm high tension wire. If you touch here, you can get singed. If you're not careful, if you touch here, I can blow you to smithereens.
But we don't walk that way. We don't think ourselves that way. And God says, look, I want you to know this power that you have in you, that power which is the Holy Spirit, that power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's never been done before. The ability to turn that which is dead into life. You want something to be transformed and changed in you? God can turn it around. The valley of the dry bones. You want something to be transformed and changed in your life? God can do it. He says you have that power if you call onto it and you tap onto it. The Holy Spirit. And Paul says, I want you to know. And I pray that today I'll inspire you to want to know this God and the power that is available for you to be anything and everything for the glory of God. This power. You know, right now, there's a Hubble telescope out there. The scientists were amazed about what's going on around us. They're like, wow, we want to know where we are, who we are. And what they did, these amazing smart people, said, okay, we'll send you out. The first people to go out in space, I think they're really bold and crazy. But they said they did. And so they put together this huge telescope and said, we want to see. And what they saw were amazing things about what God created. The nebula. And when the pictures came, the scientific community was amazed and saying, look at all this. And that's just a snapshot of the universe, of our Milky Way, of the galaxy. Amazing. Right now, at CERN, 100 meters underground, you know what they're doing? Between the borders of Switzerland and France, they've built like a tunnel, the Hadron Collider. For me, it's a scary thought. I'm thinking they might blow a huge hole and all that molten lava might come out and this is it, and we're all going to die. And so there's a huge tunnel. The Hadron Collider, and they've put incredibly strong magnets, and they're trying to stretch and put and get protons on this area and really take them at such speeds and bang them and want to recreate the initial moment of the Big Bang. And I thought, come on, call me up. Call me. I'll give you my phone number. I will tell you about the Big Bang. I'll tell you about God. And they're paying these guys a lot of money. And I'm like, oh, come on. I don't have to go to school about this. I know about the Big Bang. But the scientific community is amazed by that. And they're thinking, look at amazing this discovery. And God said, look, I just said light. Now you see why I'm excited? God wants you to be amazed by that. They're spending thousands and thousands of monies. Years and years of being educated about that. People are wanting to peek into the creation of what your God has done. And I think when we get on our knees, we just pray and we just pray puny prayers. We go to God and just say, God, okay, probably if you're maybe there, could you just hear me? And God is saying, come on, wake up and smell the coffee. I am an amazing God. This is the God I want you to rediscover. This is the God, when you get into the Bible, I want you to know this God. God wants you to know this power. He wants you to tap into this power. He wants you to reveal himself, and he wants you to be excited about him, to be giddy. I think when we fall in love, we say we're giddy. He wants you to be giddy about him. But I don't think we look at God this way. Instead, we see our God as a small God, a little God. We've shrunk him into our ways of thinking, into our understanding, into our outlook. We've shrunk him into our experience and said, this is who God is. We've limited God with our memories. And sometimes, sadly, we hold our memories truer than the true God. And to shake us off of our memories, that God is not that way. And you keep saying, but this. And God is saying, but I am not defined by your memories, by your past, by your pain. I am God. Moses tried to define him. He said, so tell me who you are. He just said, I am. But I am. But I am. I am. And we do that with our past, our pain, and we so, and when we start saying, God cannot, we've defined him. I don't believe it, we've defined him. When we don't, and we lose our faith, we've defined him. And God is trying in every corner, at every turn, at every way to say, I am. I am. I pray to God, when you open your Bible, when you fall down on your knees, you will be inspired to know this amazing God. And you'll remember that your ways are not his ways. He's an amazing God. You know, our failures can really mess us up. They can dictate to us and define who God is. And we look at God through our lenses of failures and bad experiences. And God is saying, but that's not who I am. There's nothing as terrible, as painful, and frustrating to be misunderstood, to be misread, to be misrepresented. That's why even in the political circle, you have diplomats who say this is who we are and perpetuate who their countries are. And I think every day we hurt God by the way we misthink him, we misview him, we misunderstand him. When he's not known by us and he's trying to reach out and saying, but that is not who I am. I have been misunderstood. It is painful. I have been questioned. I'm sure you have. If you haven't, it'll happen to you. Just live long enough, it will happen. That's just kind of the way of life. And you hear this pain, especially when you read the book of Jeremiah. He asks that question, what have I done that I have become this to you? That you've walked away from me, that you've fallen away from me. And you hear the pain in God of having been misunderstood. And I think when we get faithless, when we don't believe, we become dull, and God loses that luster of amazement and awesome and wonder. He's saying, but that's not who I am. And he's crying out to you, and he says, I am. I pray that tonight there'll be a paradigm shift in your view and outlook of God. And that he will not be the caricature of your life that you've created in him. I want you to know this God. this amazing God and the power that is available for you. And I haven't even spoken about the love that he has for you. There are so many attributes about God. In fact, for me, one of the most favorite passages in Ephesians is Paul. Paul is so desirous of you and I to know this God, how high and wide and deep and every dimension you could come up. He says, that's how amazingly, how much God loves you. God is an amazing God. Let's take a peek, small peek about this awe-inspiring God. If somebody could read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. And then the next person to read Psalms chapter 90, verse 1 and 2. If somebody could read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. Psalm 90, 1 and 2. Please read loudly. 2 Chronicles verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18.
But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built.
God cannot be contained. He's bigger than huge. He's bigger than huge. Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 and 2. And then the next person to read Psalm 147, 4 to 5. 90, 1 and 2.
The Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, when you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
God is outside of time. That's what Moses prayed. God is outside of time. Psalm 147, 4 to 5. Psalm 147, 4 to 5.
Determine the number of the stars and call them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit.
Amos chapter 4, verse 13. What we read in Psalm 147, verse 4 to 5. God calls each star by name. He made the mountains, the weather, the solar system, the galaxies. That's your amazing God. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. Amos chapter 4, verse 13.
Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times. Wait, is
that right? Amos chapter 4. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, now I got it. He forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name.
That's amazing. He says he reveals his thoughts to man. That's amazing. That's an incredible computer if you think about it. He reveals his thoughts to man. If God were to reveal all his thoughts, can you imagine building that computer? Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Acts 17, 22.
Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at their objects of worship, I even found an altar with its inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you.
22.
The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For one man he made all nations, and that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Fantastic. That's amazing. You think about it. He says he's not far from each and every one of us. This amazing God. But it's either or. If you will reach out. He says perhaps. 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 Matthew chapter 10 verse 29. Matthew 10, 29.
Sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father.
You know, sometimes we can feel very insignificant. Sometimes we can feel, I don't think I'm a blip in your radar. I think my battery and my everything, I don't think I'm beeping on your radar. I've prayed and sought you and asked you, and I don't think you hear me. I think maybe you need to kind of... We feel that way. I'm trying to make light of it for us to have some self-reflection, but it is a serious thing. We can lose patience. We can lose faith. Time is very telling. And Satan uses time to make us question this God. To make us question our standing in God. And God says, no. If I can be aware of a sparrow falling, surely I have heard you. I know you. You're of more importance. You matter to God. You matter. And I think it would be sad if I say, wait. I cannot, and you walk away from my friendship. Because you know what it is? That means you're just self-centered. You're just focused about me, myself, and I. And how about me and the selfishness? And you know what God says? If you want to follow me, you got to let go of yourself. And if God has heard you, and you know this amazing, powerful God has heard you, then you wait patiently with joy. Amazing. I pray you'll have this paradigm shift that I'm inspiring you to do, to have. Psalm 38, verse 9. Psalm 38, verse 9. You know, God knows all my longings. God knows all your longings, all your desires. And we haven't even read passages in Isaiah. The whole Bible is screaming to you and I. It says, God says, I know your desires. I know what you long for and what you yearn for as a person and as a corporate body. And God works in ways, mysterious ways that you and I don't even know. I taught this in North River. And as always, I told Richard what I believe God had put in my heart. And I said, you know, what answered prayer do you think is appropriate for me to answer, to share? He goes, every prayer is appropriate. And I'm like, okay, which one? What exactly? He says, you know, share about the registration of the church in Nairobi. And I try to avoid some things. I said, well, you know, can I not share about something? Can I share something? He goes, no, that's a powerful story. And here's why he wanted me to share that and to share here. God works in ways that you and I don't know. He's been working for something to happen in your life from 20 years ago. You're not even aware about this. He's been working today for something that will come into fruition in 5 years' time. You're not even aware of it. And you know, at some point in my life, walking up and down, not knowing, when we hadn't come into that point of contact of I was going in my own world. Somebody reached out to me, studied the Bible, wrestled, and Satan was trying to derail that. And he's saying, no, but God had been working before I was even born, before I was even conceived. And so here I am struggling. You know, first time I was met, hey, my name is Sarah. You know, I'm so-and-so. What's your name, Sarah? Things had already started, begun. Or the second phase or the third phase, whatever phase it was. But that phase of things happening. And so here I was born into this particular family. My brother-in-law happens to be the attorney general. And so I'm wrestling and studying. And God already had this plan. And the angels were waiting and holding their breath and saying, perhaps this is pivotal in the history of the church in Nairobi. They'd been praying and praying and praying at that point in time for a couple of years. There had been no registration of churches for 10 years. And so this bunch of disciples are kneeling down and praying to God, register a church. Because at that time, you couldn't meet even for Bible talk before you go to the governing offices and you get a permit and ask all through questions and fill in so many forms. And so it was very hectic to be able to do that. And so here I am. God been working. Okay, let's let this girl be born and let her feel empty. And maybe, perhaps, probably she'll choose and respond to my calling. And then I get baptized. And then I go, ooh la la, me like you, Richard. And then we go and date, and go, ooh, would you be my wife? And I'm thinking, ooh, I'm going to be a wifey. And so we get engaged. We go home, and we get married, and I'm inviting my family, saying, you know what, I'm getting married to this guy, and they're like, who is this man? And so obviously my brother-in-law comes, and he's the attorney general, and and he goes, you know what, after your honeymoon, come on over for dinner. And Richard goes, the attorney, I said, he's just Amos. Don't think of him as attorney general, he's just Amos. So when we are hanging out, he's just Amos. Don't bring work home. So just Amos. So Amos has invited us to dinner. And so I'm like, no, just ask, when are we going to go to Amos's? Because he's just Amos, his family. So we go and have dinner. And he goes, this is what I was thinking. Because my family was so impacted by the disciples. We were not Christians. Didn't grow up religious. And we had lots of dignitaries and all. And before that, I said, okay, some of my family members are going to be coming and some of friends are going to be coming. Just go, hi, have a seat. Don't go, oh, can I get a job? This is not the time and place. They've just come for a wedding. So just treat them as wedding guests. And so, you know, we had dinner with him. And then he said, I've seen your application for the registration of the church. It's been sitting on my table for 2 years, and we haven't registered any church for 10 years. And he said, but when I came to church, and you guys have been investigated by the government for years, when I came to church and I kept hearing disciples, and I've seen Sarah changing, and I know something's happened, something great is happening. And he says, I will register the church as your wedding gift. Been happening. God, these disciples were praying. They didn't know what was going on. And they reach out to this person who was very prideful and wrestling and amazing. God works in mysterious ways. You and I do not know the workings of what God is doing. That's just one little story in my life. Your story is amazing and powerful. Your story, you studying the Bible with somebody, you know what you've done? You've pressed control, alternate, delete. Erased that history and created a completely new history. We get rebooted. I was rebooted 21 years ago. My life is completely new. Now we can go and look and refresh and go back and check the history and I'll say that's history. It's gone. But I'm completely renewed. I'm rebooted. I'm living a completely new life. I'm refreshed. That in itself is powerful. Your God is an amazing God. If somebody could read Revelation chapter 16 from verse 17 to 18, and then the next person to read Revelation 19, 11 to 16. Uh-huh. And then 19, 11 to 16.
Okay. Revelation 16, 17. The seven angels poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, "It is done." Then there came a flash, flashes of lightning and rumbling and peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like this has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake.
Revelations 19, 11 to 16.
I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a wild horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. For justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slaves, small and great."
Okay. Amen. The line we missed out was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the mighty God of the Bible. And you think about it, God started out by saying who he is, and he ends with such incredible crescendo about himself. And he's so desirous of wanting to know him. And I pray you'll get to know him. And you know, he's full of awe and power. Don't call on a small God that we create. Call instead on the great and awe-inspiring God of the Bible. And secondly and lastly, once we understand this power, then our prayers will change. And my second thought is this. My second point is in the hallways of heaven. In the hallways of heaven. Revelation chapter 5. I'll read that. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." You know, when we pray, our prayers touch heaven. When we pray, our prayers reach heaven. When we pray, our prayers echo in the hallways of heaven. When we pray and heaven's here. When we pray, heaven moves. When you pray, you shake heavens. When you pray, you think about it, your voice is heard in the hallways of heaven. I imagine there are corridors in heaven because God says there are many rooms. You can't have many rooms without corridor, but that's my finite thinking. And so I'm thinking there are hallways over there, and I want my voice to be heard loud. And you and I ought to pray loud prayers. I'm not saying you be dramatic in your prayer, but I'm saying you pray believing. Pray that you know that you're praying to this amazing and powerful God and that He hears you in the hallways of heaven. That your voice echoes and reverberates in the hallways of heaven. You pray knowing in the heavens your voice is heard. That an angel has heard your voice. You think about it. Sinful as you and I are, full of sin, and yet God, who is without sin, we touch Him with our prayers. We touch Him with our voice. I cannot physically touch Him. I cannot be in His presence if I'm not right with Him, if I'm in the darkness, but my voice moves Him. He's moved by my sinful lips. It's an amazing thought that God is moved and touched by my prayers, as they echo in the hallways of heaven. And so I ask you today, when you have been amazed and inspired by this awe-inspiring big God that you serve, may you pray in this way. Luke chapter 11. I shall read. Luke 11. This is what he says. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you," that's what Jesus says to you and I. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give him the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so what do I encourage you and what do I say to you? Ask boldly. Ask boldly. Because your God is an awe-inspiring God. Pray boldly. Because your God is a big God. Pray boldly. Because God is a God of miracles, who works miracles in our lives. Pray boldly because God and prayers transform lives. Ask boldly as Elijah did, because prayers change history. Ask boldly because prayers have the power to change eternity. Ask for miracles because God loves to amaze us and inspire us with His miracles. Be bold in your prayers because your God is able. His encouragement in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, "Be confident in knowing and approaching this awe-inspiring great God of ours. Like the persistent widow, just don't tire. Just don't doubt. Just don't give up. You are heard. You are significant. Your requests matter to God. Your desires are significant. You just wait. But you ask boldly. His answers will reach you in His time, His way, for answer He does, and answer He will." May our prayers, your prayers and my prayers, echo in the hallways of heaven. And may they reverberate through eternity as we live to see the miracles and power of our great God. Amen. Roxanne and Sheila.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Father, it is so incredibly humbling to come before you right now. I am awe-inspired, God, by just your incredible power, your creativity, the expanse of everything that you've created. Father, it's beyond my ability to understand or comprehend. Father, just thinking about the perfection that you used to create the world and how you put us at just the right point between the sun and we're not too far away and we're not too close. Everything's perfect. When I think about our bodies and how you made our bodies so perfectly and how everything works together and the seasons and plants and everything that you do, it is perfection. Father, we do not deserve to come before you. And I just pray that you'd forgive us for our sins. Father, when I think about my imperfection and the things that I struggle with and that we all struggle with, God, I just beg that you would forgive us. Help us to have a heart of repentance. But, Father, I know and I'm confident that you love us so much. And God, that's another thing I don't understand. We are so insignificant and yet so important. And it just is so contradictory, but I'm so grateful for the way you love us and you are willing to give the most incredible gift for us to ransom us so that we can have a relationship with you. God, I am so grateful. God, thank you for being so powerful and for giving us the opportunity to tap into that power. That you can do anything, that you can suspend time and change the weather and just do anything that you decide to do. Father, I just come before you. The things that I think about for our church, I just see how you've moved and worked. But God, I pray for even greater things this year. Father, I pray that we would have that 50 baptisms, but that it would be even more than those 50 baptisms. Father, I pray that people that we just meet will become disciples, but I also pray that there are people in our lives that we know and we love and we've been praying for, husbands and children and relatives and close friends. Father, people that we know and love that we may have even given up on, God, that you would move and work and help us to be so surprised and so excited at the end of this year when they're one of the 50 or more. Father, I pray also that you would be with us as a church as we grow and expand. God, we want to have a building. We, just looking around, God, we are filling up Sunday morning, and we have loved Meadow Creek, but God, we need more, and you know we need it. You know that you have the exact perfect place in mind for us. God, we beg you that it would happen quickly, that we would find the perfect land or the perfect building. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be amazed at your timing and amazed at the perfection of the way you work it out and that it fits us beautifully. And Father, I feel so encouraged by the campus ministry and the young people who are making Jesus Lord. And Father, we need your help so much with that, to meet their needs and to grow that ministry. And I beg you that you would give us a campus ministry couple. Father, please work in that situation. I pray that you would give us the finances to do it. I pray that you would give us the perfect people to do it. And who knows, it could even be someone from here. Father, I know that you have perfection in store for us. And I pray that you would give us just the right people at just the right time. And please help our campus ministry to continue to grow and flourish and just do great things. Father, please be with brothers and sisters who are struggling and hurting right now. There are children who are hurting and families who are hurting. Please, Father, take care of those people. Help our children to do well. Help them to grow and to change. Father, we know that nothing else will change the history of families and the cycles that we get involved in, the cycles of sin and sadness. Nothing will change that like you can, Father. And I pray that in all of our families that we would be the end of that, and we would help other people to also find the end of that. Father, work in our lives. I beg you for that. Change our marriages. Change our children. Help us to grow. Father, I pray also for people who are sick, who are struggling and hurting. God, we love you so much, and we are confident with what we've already seen that you are capable of doing incredible things, just amazing things, like Joe and Lisa, Father, and their situation, like Bert and Julia, Father, and their situation. You can move mountains and work and put people together who are perfect for each other. Father, we love you. We appreciate the fact that you want us in your life. Father, we desperately need you. We don't deserve you, but we need you so much. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for having a love that is more than we can comprehend. Thank you for noticing us, Father, and wanting us to be a part of your family. Father, we love you so much, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Roxanne took all my prayers. If we could all stand. Let's all hold hands, because we're going to praise God. Father God, just thank you so much just to come to you, to be able to pray to you boldly, Father God. You created the lights because you are I am. I thank you so much for this. Thank you for the message this evening, Lord God. And I just pray so much, Father God, that you would just help us to be just great, incredible women. You have just given us so much this far, Lord God. It's already coming into March, Father God, and what amazing blessings that you have given us. And I just thank and praise your name for that, Father God. Thank you for the visions that you have given our leaders, Lord God. I just pray that you would just enhance them, Father God. As Roxanne prayed, Father God, I pray that you would blow it out for us this year, Lord God. We're not even counting on the 50 anymore, Father God. We know that you will do great numbers for us, Father God. And it's about just reaching out to those that are lost, Lord God. I pray so much for the lost, Lord. I thank you that you would just open our hearts and our minds and just give us the peace, Father God. Give us the wisdom, Lord God, to just do your will, Lord God. I thank you, and I just praise your name this evening, Father God. And I thank that each one of us, when we say our prayers in the morning, Lord God, that we will be bold for you. When we share our faith tomorrow, Lord God, that we will be bold for I am. I'm so grateful for that, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, and I thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. Amen. Amen.